message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Did you come with your Bible this morning? Are you sure? Let me see it. Glory to God. There are few this morning. There are few. There are not few. Wave them. Glory to God. Open them to Romans chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then Hebrews 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Hebrews 11. Glory to God. I'll say something now, and then they will now say, he says it all the time. So I'm struggling whether to say it or not to say it. I should say it, but you are about to listen to one of the most important sermons of your life. I've not said that this year. You are about to receive from God Almighty one of the most important sermons of your life. Glory to God. I'll do Romans in New King James. I'll do 1 Timothy in the easy to read version, and then I'll do Hebrews in New King James. Is that okay? If you are there, say, I am there. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Thank you. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say, I will live by faith. Say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is my power. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12, the easy to read version. We have to fight to keep our faith. We have to fight to keep our faith. Try as hard as you can to win that fight. Take hold of eternal life. It is the life you were chosen to have when you confessed your faith in Jesus. That wonderful truth that you spoke so openly and that so many people heard. We have to fight to keep our faith. Tell your neighbor, fight to keep your faith. Tell the other one, make sure you win that fight. A lot of us are fighting all kinds of fights. But God didn't call his children to fight any other fight. Only one fight that God calls all his children to fight. God didn't call you to fight with your neighbor. God didn't call you to fight with your stepmother. God didn't call you to fight with your boss. God didn't call you to fight with anybody. The only fight God has called us to fight is what we call the good fight of faith. Why is it a fight? It is a fight because there are enemies of faith. So the only fight we are called to fight is the fight of faith. And it is a good fight. So it's a fight to keep your faith. Say, I will keep my faith no matter what happens. You know, one day something was happening. And Jesus told Peter, I said, Peter, can I tell you something? The enemy has desired to sift you. To sift you. He said, but don't worry, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Tell somebody, I will keep my faith. The enemy is doing right now and is going to be doing all kinds of things to sift, to tear our faith apart. But we must fight to keep the faith. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that, number one, he is. Number two, he is a rewarder. Number three, he's not a rewarder of those who seek him. No, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that within the few minutes that we have, that you descend upon this place in your power. Penetrate every heart. Unclog every ear. We bind the forces of destruction. We declare that Jesus is Lord in this place. As your word comes forth, let there be healings. Let there be deliverances. Let there be promotions. Let there be exaltations. And let there be increase. We give you glory. We give you honor. For it's in Jesus' name we have prayed. And the church of God says, amen. The just shall live by faith. Today we are focusing on the enemies of faith. There's an ancient Chinese military strategy. It's called Sun Tzu. It says, know your enemy and know yourself, and you can fight 100 battles without disaster. Know your enemies, know yourself, and you can fight 100 battles without disaster. Why are we going to set a Sunday to talk about the enemies of faith? We still have some seats here, please, brothers and sisters. We have seats here. Those of you standing there, we have seats here. Minister of Health, bring them here. We have a few seats here. Why should we dedicate a Sunday to discussing the enemies of faith? Because we have enemies of faith. There are a lot of enemies of our faith. Brothers and sisters, hear me and hear me well. God is all you need to have all your needs met. God is all you need to have all your need met. God is all you need to have all the grace you need to fulfill your purpose on the earth. But faith is all you need to get God to manifest in your affairs. Faith. And so if faith has enemies, then they are your enemies. Every enemy of faith is your enemy. And so today we want to identify a few of them. There are too many. But we'll identify a few that are very common. So we can know them and deal with them so that nothing interferes with our faith. Somebody say, I'm here. So enemies of faith. Number one is worry. Worry. Worries for some of you. Anxiety. Concerns, deep concerns, cares, worry. Some of us right now, since you entered church and sat down, you've been worrying. You've been worrying. After church now, hey, you mean tomorrow is Monday? Chai. Is it tomorrow that is this resumption day? Hey, Kai. Where was my fuel gauge when I was Kai? Just worry, 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 worry. Worry. Are your needs real? Yes, they are real. Are your concerns real? Yes, they are real. Are you supposed to worry? No, you are not supposed to worry. Why? Your father knows. Your father knows. Your father knows. Every time you worry, you are passing a vote of no confidence on your father. Every time you worry, you are passing a vote of no confidence. Your father. I told my children, sit down, let's discuss this electricity thing. God doesn't like waste. They say, yes, they have heard. I said, God doesn't like waste. So I opened the Bible to the place where God doesn't like waste. I showed it to them. They said they have heard. So we will not waste electricity again. They said they have heard. 2 minutes later. I asked God for ladies. God gave them to me with Jara. They like to bake. Once they bake for 1 hour, the electricity is finished. And then sometimes what they bake, they don't like it, they keep it and start baking another one. But you know what? They never bother. I have never met them worrying about electricity. I have never met them worrying about lights. I have never met them worried about school fees. Right now, they are not discussing school fees. They are telling me what they need to do before they resume. They don't know whether school fees we pay. Therefore I say to you, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? Say, for your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows. Look at the lilies. They dress more than Solomon. Look at the birds. They neither toil nor spin. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Question, will your heavenly Father leave you his children and go and feed birds that are not his children? Birds are his creation. They are not his children. Will I leave Doxa in my house, house 12, and go to house 14 and start feeding all their children and leave my children? So he said, O ye of little faith, tell your neighbor, do not worry. Tell the other one, God was not joking when he said we should not worry. That is the first enemy that faith has. We say faith is confidence, absolute, unwavering confidence in God, his word, his ability, his reliability, his trustworthiness. Faith is confidence in God. Then you put the confidence in him for food, for health, for protection. Then you remove the confidence and begin to worry. So worry is an enemy of faith. I pray that after today, you will not worry again. Amen. There is a reasonable expression of concern that leads to planning. We are supposed to plan. God planned. That is why he had day one, day two, day three, day four. He planned. But when your planning has crossed over to the place of worrying, you are no longer in God's will. Do not worry. Worry is an enemy of faith. Don't worry. Why? Your heavenly Father knows. So he said, look at the birds. Look at the lily. And then he says, for the bird, in case you are not aware, four of them are sold for 2 copper coins. And then he said, if you buy extra, they throw in some birds at Jara. And then he says, are you not of much more value than birds? Tell your neighbor, you are very valuable. Tell the other one, before God, you are a VVIP. So stop worrying. Trust God. A great mind, Mark Twain, says, I have had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened. That is why Jesus, before Mark Twain came on the scene, said, do not worry about tomorrow. Today has enough issue. Live in today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Somebody give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. That's number one enemy. Anxiety, worries. Philippians says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So instead of worrying, pray. Pray and confess it. Don't worry. Stop worrying. When he says tomorrow, it doesn't necessarily mean tomorrow. Tomorrow can be the next 5 minutes. When you are concerned about what will happen in the car park right now that you can't focus, you are worrying. Let God be God. I have worked hard in my life not to worry. And I'll keep working on it, never to worry. The worst that can happen to Wilson Adegbeakubo is that I stop breathing. That's the worst. So when I stop breathing, what will happen? Boy, 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 boy. Glory to God. In this church, when we first came, they taught us about the spoil button. You must look for the spoil button and press it. And say, this is the worst that can happen. If it happens, so what? Then we stop worrying. So if you don't pay school fees, so what? Nothing will happen. I can tell you that nothing will happen. Because I can start calling names of people who didn't go to school. And they are employing us right now. Nothing will happen. Nothing. Nothing. Tell your neighbor, look for the spoil button. Spoil it. Don't worry. I like that laugh. So if you know marry, so waiting will happen. Waiting will happen. You know marry, waiting will happen. Nothing. Nothing will happen. Nothing. Nothing. You know get children, waiting will happen. Nothing. 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 You can't pay house rent, waiting will happen. Nothing. Nothing. This is... you see, cool? See. They were doing nothing with me before. See now. You see now? You see now? Nothing could happen. Nothing. Thank you for clapping. Nothing. 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 And the next point is going to follow worry, is fear. My next point is fear, the enemy of faith. Because what happened is that I talked about marriage, it's not, you can manage it. I talked about children, you can manage it. Now I talked about house rent, fear came, see? You saw your load outside. I saw it with you. And then as they were dropping it outside, rain started falling, see? So the next enemy of faith is fear. So worry comes in, and that worry provokes fear. Man, the landlord comes, pushes my things outside. As they are dropping them outside, with my certificate on top, rain starts falling. Fear. Fear. I want to push some extremes. Permit me to push some extremes, because I push extremes in my life. Are you aware that your landlord can come to your house and while standing in front of your house receives a command and says, I just came to greet, and then goes back? Are you aware that that is possible? He says they have limited the Holy One of Israel and therefore he is not able to perform. He's not able to perform. So fear is the next enemy. And so you have faith. You have tried to exercise faith. But some things begin to happen. Then fear comes. So Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross to the other side. Let us cross to the other side. They have been with him for 3 years. Then know that there is nothing he has said that has never happened. No word of his has fallen to the ground before they know that. He said, let us cross to the other side. Then he followed them, Pastor Fusho. He entered the boat with them. It's just that he felt like sleeping. So took a pillow and began to sleep. But he had told them, let us go to the other side. I say that to say to somebody this morning, you are going into 2023 better than 2022, and you are going to 2024 better than 2023. I don't care what is connecting you and what is contravening you and what is contending with you right now. You are going over. You are going over. You are going over. He says, let us go over. Then he went to sleep. So God gave you a word, and then there is silence. Let us go over to the other side. Then he went to sleep. God gave you a promise. Then silence. Nothing is happening. I will give you a tall, dark, and handsome. 6 years, nothing else. He is on a pillow, sleeping. That doesn't mean he changed his mind. And so the Bible says, while he was sleeping, a storm arose. Tell your neighbor there will be storms. Ah, he told us from the beginning. He said, be of good cheer, but there will be storms. So a storm arose. And then they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? Can you hear that? He is with you in the boat. It is the boat that is crashing. You are thinking of yourself. Do you not care that we are perishing? Which means he will not perish. If he will not perish and you are with him in the boat, who is telling you that you will perish? And so fear will make you forget who you are and what you have. They have Jesus with them and they belong to him, but fear made them forget. They forgot that the one who is sleeping on a pillow is the one that created the sea. He's the one that created the wind. The material that the boat was made from, he created it. All things were made through him and by him. Nothing was made that was made. The one who created the sea is afraid of the sea. No possible. So fear. So it begins from worry. And then worry begets fear. And then say, oh ye of little faith, why do you fear? Peace be still. So instead of worrying, open your mouth and speak to the storm. Open your mouth and speak to the storm. So he calmed them down. Fear cripples you, drains your faith. Fear causes you to forget whose you are and what you have. And this is the complication of fear. Fear has the same operational manual with faith. What you are afraid of, you attract. What you have faith for, you attract. And the line is thin. And the line is thin. Can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. In their time, he was physically with them in the boat. In our time, he is spiritually and by his spirit resident in your spirit. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are going to sink, you are going to sink with him. I doubt if he can ever sink. He doesn't sink. He doesn't sink. So no room for worry, no room for fear. What is the next enemy? Doubt. So doubt now is, will it happen? Will it not happen? You have worried. You are now afraid. It no go happen. It go happen. It no go happen. It go happen. While you are doing all of that, the enemy will be happy. Very, very happy. Very, very happy. Unbelief will set in. Double-mindedness will come in. To doubt means to be uncertain about something. To consider it questionable, unlikely. To distraught. To be irresolute. To be indecisive. I like it. I like the disciples. They taught us all kinds of things. Here again, another day, they were going. After a big crusade, and it's because we forget. We forget. By the way, let me tell you, after major victories, the enemy comes. Most times. After major victories. So after a big crusade, they were going again. Somebody said they were going again. But this time he didn't enter with them. But he said, go, I will join you. So they were going again. And then he decided to come and meet them. He was walking on the water. So of all the 3 years, they didn't recognize his form. They said it was a ghost. He didn't get angry. He didn't get angry. Jesus never gets angry with us. Why? He understands our frame. So they say, if you are not a ghost, call me to come. He said, okay, Peter, come. Peter got out of the boat, put his leg on calm, not on water, on calm. On calm. On calm. What is faith? Faith is confidence in God and his word. So Peter brought his leg out and put it on calm and stood on calm and began to walk towards Jesus. Then again, another storm. Then a storm attracted his interest. Then mistakenly, he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the storm. Then fear came. Then the fear provoked doubt. What doubt? Are you sure this calm can hold me? And then he began to sink. Then he says, save me. And the Bible says, immediately, he saved him. If we are sure that he can always save us, why are we afraid to venture? The worst that can happen, he says, save me. And immediately he will save you. Children of God, it is time to get out and venture. It is time to go out and do big stuff, big things. Big things. Do big things for God. Attempt big things for God. If you are about to sink, say, save me. He's by there, he's by your side. But listen to what happened now. He now said, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Why are you doubting? I told you you will have children. Why is it that every time you see spots, you are doubting? I told you you will get a job. Why is it that every time they refuse to invite you for the next interview, you are doubting? No. To doubt means to have double mind. Will it happen? Will it not happen? James says such a man should not expect to receive anything from God. When it comes to God and faith, you lock in your mind. He will save me. If he doesn't save me, he will still save me by allowing me to die and then I come to his presence, which is a better salvation. But you don't leave room for the enemy. So worry provokes fear. Fear provokes doubt. If these things are working in your life, your faith will never be strong to produce the kinds of results that you need. You must fight them. You must fight them. You must fight worries. You must fight doubt. You must fight it. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14, 28. Because you saw the violence. Some of you began this year. You heard God say you will build your house this year. Because you saw the violence of cement price, you have changed your mind. You saw the violence of dollar exchange, you have changed your mind. When God told you, listen carefully and listen well, and I pray you never forget. When God told you that you will build this year, he was not unaware of dollar and cement. He knew their prices was going to change. He knew it. He knew it. He knew it. He knew it. When God told you that that brother was going to marry you, God knew that the brother was moving to Germany from Abuja. But Germany is still the Lord's, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you, because the brother moved out of Abuja, I say, I want to make it as practical as possible. When the Lord said, I'll put you in NNPC, now they just sacked your uncle. God wants you to know that it's not your uncle he intended to use to put you there. Don't doubt God. If he has said it. Somebody said, I didn't hear him say, if you have read it. And you are his child, is your promise too. Don't doubt the lingering, the time it took. Don't doubt it. Don't question his method. Don't question his method. Nigerians, don't stop questioning God's method. We pray to God, then we want to dictate to him how to do it for us. You know how to do it. Why haven't you done it since? God, give me a car. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Central Area. I want you to go to Kefianos Motors. I want you to go to the first line. Pick the first on Sunday and buy it. But don't bring it till Tuesday. You have asked God for a car. You are telling him where to pick the car from and how to bring it. No, you are not that smart. We ask because we believe. Then we receive. Then we stop doubting. Then we shall have it. When you pray, believe that you receive it, then you will have it. However, do not doubt in your heart. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Say, I won't doubt God again. Say, I won't doubt God again. You know why you are not supposed to doubt God? He is not in our class. He has worked hard to bring us very close to understand him. But that doesn't mean we are the same. He is God. If God stands where I'm standing now and looked at Pastor Regina and said, Pastor Regina, you look beautiful. Why did you wear white to church today? Boom! This thing will turn to white. As he's leaving his mouth, that thing will change to white because he cannot lie. And whatever he says must come to pass. Looks at her and says, why did you wear black to church? Bam! It will turn to black. He is God. He is God. He is God. He is God. He is not a man. He is not PDP. He is not APC. He is not ALP. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive. He has never lied and he will never lie. He can be trusted. His word is tried and true. Church, the faith we need to get to where we are going will require that we cast out worries, cast out fears, and cast out all doubt. Somebody say, I will not doubt again. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything. I thought he's asking for wisdom. Why did we change it to anything? It's the same principle. And wisdom is the principal thing. So he just added it. If you doubt, you can't receive. You come, you see the word of God, and you hear the word, you are healed. And then you go home. The swelling is still there, and the pain is still there. And then you begin to say, are you sure? You are doubting. You are healed doesn't necessarily mean swelling disappear. No, or pain stop immediately. No. You believe. Believe that you have it. Believe that you have received it. Then, so what do you do after that time? Begin to say, I am the healed of the Lord. With the pain, with the swelling. With the pain, with the swelling. You keep saying, I am the healed of the Lord. That is how we do it. That is how we do it. There was one time in my life, some years ago, I don't know whatever happened, I began to cough blood. And the enemy began to say. So I took my Bible. Now, by the way, some of the things I say in church, my wife is also hearing them for the first time like you. So when that cough is coming, I'll run to the bathroom. And she won't know it. Because I don't want anybody panicking on me. Coughing blood for like 3 months. Then I took the scriptures. He himself took our infirmity. And by his stripes, you were healed. Matthew 8, 16, 17. By evening, they brought the sick to him. And he healed all of them in order to confirm what Isaiah had said. That he himself took their infirmity. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Is anyone sick among you? Let him. As I was doing all of those things, the blood was increasing. But I stayed with what I stayed with. After some time, I said, maybe I should go and get a name for what is happening to me. Because at the name of Jesus, every other name. We're talking about doing all. Are you hearing me? So I went to the hospital to get a name to bring under the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, the hospital didn't catch any name. They didn't see anything. And this thing was causing shortness of breath. And that time, COVID never come. Shortness of breath. Choked me almost to death. So I stayed with the word. He himself took. He himself took. He himself took. The blood was there. The cough was there. But I stayed with the healing. I think God is bringing me back here for somebody, preparing you for this week and the miracles that will happen next Sunday. When we say, be healed, you are healed. Even if the swelling is still there. Sometimes supernaturally the swelling disappears immediately. But sometimes it stays there. But you stay with the word, I am the healed. I am the healed. And then this is what will happen. Voices will start coming. You sure say you don't heal? Now in the thing, they increase like this. The way they even pain you now, past the way they pain you before. Then you now say, eh, not true. I never heal. Maybe next Sunday again. Boy. I have misused my time. I confess. The next enemy, ungodly mindsets. The next enemy, prayerlessness. And the next enemy, ignorance. Ignorance. Ungodly mindset. What is a mindset? A mindset is how your mind is set. And before you start looking for a big dictionary, a mindset is how your mind is set. What are the things responsible for your setting of your mind? The things you see, the things you hear, and your experiences that set your mind. The things you have seen in your life, the things you have heard, and the things you have experienced, they have helped your mind to set in a certain way. It is an enemy of faith. So no matter the mindset you have, bring it under the mindset of the word. 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 Pass it through the integrity test of the word and make sure it passes. Every mindset that you have, subject it to the word. Subject it to the word. Subject it to the word. Glory to God. And then after that, take the word of God and begin to renew your mind. Your mindset will be set according to your education, according to your exposures, according to cultures and traditions, according to your associations. Mindsets. Mindsets. A young lady who left Nigeria, it's not too long ago, she has not even settled down properly yet in abroad. After 6 months, she says she doesn't think LGBT is bad again. What is happening? Exposure has started resetting her mind. She doesn't really know, Pastor Wisi, you people, you are too harsh. What is happening? There's a resetting. So every mindset you have from growing up till now, subject it to the authority of God's word. They said we are osu, we cannot marry. If we marry, we'll not have children. That is what our culture said. That is mindset. It is not in scriptures. What we have in the scriptures is, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion. What God said is that none shall be barren. And what God said is that it is not good for the man to be alone. So you renew your mind with the word of God. You change your mindset. You change your mindset. The other thing is, what did I say? Ungodly mindset, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is pride. Hear me carefully. This is the definition of prayerlessness. Pride. Prayerlessness is pride. By myself, on my own, I have the capacity. So I don't need to report anything to God, and I don't need to tell God anything. Prayerlessness is pride. Luke 18, 1 to about 8. Men always ought to pray. And then around 8, it says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he still find faith? So the more you pray, the more you are showing God that you have faith in him. When you stop praying, you are showing that God can't do anything for you. It is an enemy of faith. So somebody should return to the altar of prayer today. Prayerlessness. Ignorance. This is where I should have spent my time, but I have misused my time. Ignorance. Everything at the end of the day concerning faith will rest on ignorance. To the degree that you know, to that degree your faith will work. Unfortunately, I can't know for you. Listen carefully. I am dangerously anointed. There is no doubt about that. I know it. I can command certain things to happen for you. And they will happen for you. I can make you a billionaire. You say, but you are not one. No, that is not a problem. It's not a problem. If I have a need of a billion, it will be solved. That is how rich I am. If I have a need of a billion, it will be solved. That is how rich I am. So I don't have to keep it in the bank. But I can make you a trillionaire. I have the grace. But listen carefully. After I speak it over you, and the door opens and you go out, will you be able to sustain it? That is why in Family Worship Center, we say, know God for yourself. Not that we don't enjoy it if you come and lie down in our office. We will enjoy it. Don't you know I'll be glad just be touching you like this? Yeah, God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah, I drop the offering there. Yeah, God bless. I will enjoy it. But it won't do us no good. That is why our pastor and all our pastors, we have decided we will rather send you to the world so that you know the world. So that if you find yourself in Afghanistan, you find yourself in Haiti, you find yourself in Sudan, you find yourself in Niger, by yourself, the phone is dead, the network is down, you are able to generate a miracle by yourself. So Family Worship Center, if you didn't hear anything I came to say today, please hear the word of the Lord. I am begging you under God, put your head in your Bible. Put your head in your Bible. Pray with any man of God, it's okay. But after praying with them, put your head in your Bible. Put your head in your Bible. Read the word for yourself. Know God for yourself. Ignorance is an enemy of faith. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Ignorance is a great enemy of faith. So then, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So permit me to boldly say that ignorance of the word of God is the greatest enemy of faith. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the word of God. How does it translate? Ignorance. Listen carefully. I'm finishing. Ignorance of the power of your salvation. The power of your salvation. I don't care if your papa, your daddy, your mommy, your ancestors are all voodoo priests. The day you got born again. The day you got born again. The day you got born again. You became superior to all of them. And all the priests supervising their shrines. Did you hear what I just said? Ignorance of the power of salvation. Ignorance of the power of righteousness. Some of us think we are unworthy. I am unworthy. I am an unworthy sinner. Which one are you? Are you a sinner or born again? You can't be both. You cannot be both. Ignorance of your born again status. You are born again. You are a new breed, a new species. You have power with God. Ignorance of your new identity. Your new identity. He says, to him, he came to them, but they did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become children of God. And go down there. He says, not the ones that were born according to blood, according to flesh. He's not talking about the ones that daddy and mommy slept to give birth to. He's talking about the ones that are born by the Spirit. He says, if your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, spirits are subject to you. Ignorance of your power. I volunteer as a special marshal of the road safety. As small as I am. I have a regalia. Sector 7. 12529. That is my ID. I wear that thing. I can wear agbada. I can wear suit. I can wear t-shirt. Once I put my regalia on and I step on the road and I do like this, I see cars stopping. Do you think they are stopping for Wilson? They are stopping for the authority that I carry. The Federal Republic of Nigeria vested in me the authority to stand on any road in this country and control traffic. So when I raise my hand like this, they stop. The ones who prove stubbornness, they reap the consequences. That's who you are. Today, we must fight every ignorance. Pray and thank God for the word we've received. Pray and thank God for the word we've received. Thank God for the word we've received. Ignorance of the things that belong to you. There are things that belong to you the day you got born again. They are yours. They are yours. So when the enemy comes to lie, you tell him you are a liar. At the same moment that sin was forgiven, At that same moment, your healing was corrected. Your healing was released. Why do we receive the forgiveness of sin and refuse to take the other ones? What is the problem? The enemy has lied to us. At the same time the sin was forgiven, the sickness was healed. At that same time, the curse of poverty was broken. Why are we taking the forgiveness of sin and accepting the poverty and the sickness? The enemy lied. Why? Ignorance. Pray, Father, tear off every ignorance that I have and give me grace to put my head on my Bible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Listen carefully. When I say put your head in your Bible, go and get a Bible you can read and understand. Don't insist on old King James. Forget about men of God causing trouble here and there, saying that one is diluted, one is this. The one you can read and understand is the Bible for you. Why carry do it, thou it, and you don't know the meaning of do it, thou it? Carry the one that you can understand. We know that the enemy is trying to touch some of our Bibles, but what we have right now will still give you understanding. Take the ones with modern English. Sit with it. Sit with it. Know God. He said, this is what I want you to do. Don't boast that you have wisdom. Don't boast that you have money. I really don't want you to boast, but since you are insisting on boasting, if you must boast, boast that you know me and that you understand me. That takes care of ignorance. He said, their mighty ones are taken away. Their righteous ones are famished. Why? Because of ignorance. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitudes dried up with thirst. Isaiah 5:30. Ignorance is an enemy. Let's go and know God. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. Please be seated. Please be seated. Our time is fast, man. Let's close our eyes. Every time we come into his house like this, he loves all of us. He's blessing all of us, but he has a special gift for certain people. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I need prayers. I need prayers. Number one, I'm not enjoying life. Number two, I don't like where I am. Number three, everything you spoke about today, they are all happening in my life. I have worries. I have fear. I have doubt. I am afraid of tomorrow. I'm not sure of what will happen to me. I'm afraid of death. I'm not sure where I'll go when I die. Pastor, I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want Jesus to know me one-on-one. Pastor, pray for me. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. I want to laugh. I want to enjoy life. I want direction. I want guidance. I want somebody who will be by my side. When I cry, he will say, peace be still with me. I want Jesus in my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want this load of guilt to be taken off of my shoulders. I want the real life. And I want God to bless me in this city too, so that I can be a blessing to my people. Raise your hand properly. Raise your hand properly. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody is saying, do I need to raise my hand? Why don't you just raise your hand? I'm going to ask you to do something else. Stand up. Just stand up. God loves you. God loves you.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.